The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Sleep in heavenly peace. So we sang on Christmas Eve, as we celebrated again the angel's message bringing good news of great joy for all the people. We heard how the angels sang and how the shepherds came, and everything seemed so wonderful. But that was then. Today's gospel paints a very different picture. It was probably a few months, perhaps as much as a year after Jesus' birth. Mary and Joseph and the baby were living in a house in Bethlehem. The Magi had just left when an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. The angel's message was clear and urgent. Get out now. The calm and silence and peace of Bethlehem was about to be broken. King Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. This isn't what we might have expected as the next chapter in the Christmas story. Jesus is born. The angels sing praises to God for sending a Savior. A few people, lowly shepherds, Anna and Simeon, Magi from the east, are told of the special child and praise God for sending the Messiah. But frankly, there wasn't much commotion, really. Not if you consider who Jesus is. Then, though, all hell broke loose. The devil wasn't about to go down without a fight. He knew Mary's son was the promised seed of the woman, destined to crush his, the serpent's, head. He would do anything he could to keep God from carrying out his plans. The first strategy he tried is getting rid of Jesus before he could accomplish his work. Herod was an excellent instrument to carry out Satan's purposes. He'd already proven his ruthlessness, killing a wife, three of his sons, and numerous other relatives whom he considered a threat to his rule. This newborn king of the Jews would just be one more. The trick would be in identifying him. Herod tried to use the Magi as his informants concerning the child. Claiming that he too wished to worship the infant, he asked them to return and tell him precisely where the child could be found. It would seem the plan was a good one. But God wasn't deceived by Herod's words. The Magi had come under his direction and guidance in order to worship the Savior, not to become unwilling accomplices in his murder. So when they had presented their gifts to Jesus, God warned them in a dream not to return to Herod, and they departed to their country by another way. God was still in control. One move on his part, and Herod's plan ended up a miserable failure. But Herod wasn't used to losing. So when it became clear to him that the Magi weren't returning, he came up with a more bloodthirsty solution. If he couldn't find out which young boy was the threat, he'd just kill them all. Working from the Magi's report of when that star had appeared, and probably allowing for a comfortable margin of error for his safety, Herod sent his soldiers to kill all the little boys in and around Bethlehem under 2 years in age. Surely, he thought, the king of the Jews would be one of them. But again, he failed to accomplish his purpose. God knew his intentions, and the baby Jesus, along with his mother and Joseph, were delivered from Herod's hand. The very night of the dream, Joseph had awakened, taken the child and his mother, and left for Egypt. The psalmist writes, "Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart, and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision." As we have seen, even when the powerful on earth have done their worst, the Lord remains in complete control of the situation. He accomplishes his purposes despite their scheming and even in the face of their bitter opposition. Hell rages in vain against the Lord and his almighty rule. From start to finish, the scriptures bear witness that whatever Satan and his followers might do, everything remains under God's unassailable control. But more is revealed about God in our text than simply his absolute power. We also see that God doesn't just make things up as he goes along, that he doesn't simply react to what his enemies propose. Their rebellion was already accounted for centuries before they were born. Even their wickedness serves to move his plan forward. Matthew notes in our text that when the Christ child was taken to live in Egypt until the Lord would tell Joseph it was safe to return to Palestine, this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And then when at God's direction, because of Archelaus, Herod's son, Jesus was brought not to Bethlehem but to Nazareth, this too fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Thus, in the midst of the raging of his enemies, the words and prophecies of God continued to be fulfilled. In fact, by his masterful control of things, their very opposition is made to contribute to that fulfillment. But all of this was done not only so these individual prophecies would be fulfilled, it was also a part of God's total plan for the salvation of all people. In the account of the flight to Egypt, there is much that we can't fully understand. The Almighty Son of God has to flee secretly, by night, to escape the wicked plans of one of his creatures. He spends his early childhood in exile because a mere man plans to kill him. It seems so inappropriate for the one whom angels declared to be a savior, so humiliating. Indeed, it is for one who is the Lord himself. And yet this was not an unscheduled detour from the course which God had prepared for his anointed one. It wasn't just some emergency measure to which he had to resort because things had momentarily gotten out of control. No, it was all part of God's great plan for redemption. Born of a woman, born under the law, Christ had come for the very purpose of suffering such humiliation as our divine substitute. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Yes, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. The persecution of the infant Christ was another step on the path of humiliation that began when he was conceived as a human being and born in a lowly stable. Path of humiliation that continued all the way to Golgotha and into the garden tomb. It was a path Jesus walked to its bitter end for you and for your redemption. Through it all, God's will was being accomplished for your salvation. And in the same way, God's good and gracious will is also at work in your life today. As a Christian, you can be assured that everything is always under control, that is, under the divine control of your Heavenly Father, who loves you in Jesus Christ, your Savior. As the Scriptures say, all things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. Under God's control, everything in your life is made to fit into that pattern of love he had prepared. A pattern of love he will make sure works out to your eternal good. Now that's clearly not to say that you will understand everything, that you will never be challenged in your faith as you encounter hardships and disappointments in life. For God hasn't taken his children into his confidence to the extent of revealing the whys and wherefores of every circumstance they encounter. Indeed, he declares quite plainly, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But the Lord has nevertheless always assured his people, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, an eternal future with him in heaven." He thinks of you in the light of his son's sacrifice on the cross. And so he deals with each one of you as a forgiven son or daughter. And always he has that clearly defined purpose in view, a purpose of love and grace. Even your troubles and trials are in his own masterful way, all made to serve that purpose. your eternal salvation. As we reflect on the text today, we are then reassured that God is in control even when things appear to be going very wrong. God grant you to remember and cling to this truth so that you can join in the confidence of the psalmist and say, I will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. For the Lord Almighty is with me. The God of Jacob is my fortress. And he has prepared a place for me, that I may be with him forever. It's true.
Amen.
Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.